Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Happy Thursday, or as I like to call today, Knicks Christmas. We're freeing up money. We're coming. It's like we're Mets light now, Harmon. It doesn't matter. We got new ownership. We got new ownership. We have new people in charge. We're shedding everybody. We're cutting everybody. We got money. We're coming for everybody. It's Mets light Knicks Christmas Thursday.
Dude, you tried to say that you had new ownership for the Knicks.
I know. If only wishing made it
Dude,
so.
Dude, I know it was your birthday and all that crap, but I mean, this ain't liar where you blow out a candle and some crazy stuff happens.
No, I know. It's, yeah. No,
it's just Thursday, baby.
Listen, it
doesn't mean there isn't money to be spent. Doesn't mean that maybe someone works some voodoo and some magic on James Dolan to where this can suddenly turn around, because they did a great job in the draft. Got to celebrate that. We talked about it last night while you were drunk on cake and schnapps or whatever you were doing.
Oh, come on. I haven't had schnapps since I was like 24. Are you kidding?
Okay, oh, Zimas God. It is.
Bleh, schnapps.
You said that like it's wrong.
Well, listen.
Scandinavia celebrates it every night during the holidays. Come on now.
I have a love-hate relationship with peppermint schnapps, because peppermint schnapps tastes like Christmas, but I've had a couple of bad Christmases, then, I guess you could say, with peppermint schnapps. So I'm just gonna kind of back
bad
away.
Bad job by you.
Schnapps. Oh, my God. Wow.
I know what to now add to your, you get a bottle of Glug and a bottle of schnapps.
Schnapps. Peach schnapps. Like, I think peach schnapps when I was in high school. Sorry. When I was, when I turned 21, peach schnapps was like the big thing, right? Everybody loved peach schnapps. Every girl I knew loved peach schnapps. Oh, I'm gonna have a drink with All right, let's get peach schnapps in that drink. Let's get peach schnapps. I'm like, this tastes terrible.
I really thought you were going to tell me you had a girl in high school that was named Peach Schnapps.
I bet you there is somebody named Peach Schnapps somewhere in the world. I bet you the last name is Schnapps, probably a name, you know, that derived over years has come Schnapps, and they probably called their daughter Peach. Or a guy, never know. Or a boy, could
you never
be.
Can
but
tell.
I bet you there's a Peach Schnapps somewhere in the world.
We'll have to look that up. That's Dyshirt's job for tonight. But welcome back. We enjoyed a draft without you, because it would have been Knicks. So we talked about the Knicks and we moved on, which was good. And now it's the day after and the reset for the NBA and the dead sprint towards the beginning of a new season. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, and it was, I was really fortunate. I just wanted to say this because I felt good that even though last night was the draft, it was a very big night. Obviously, it's the night of the NBA draft, but I only turned 50 once, and our managers, Scott Shapiro, Don Martin, didn't blink an eye when I said, hey, I'd like to be off. You know, if I was turning 49 or 51, I think they would say, dude, you're working.
I called you a quitter anyway, yeah. So.
But the fact that I turned 50, they let me do, and I know it was a big night, and I am very grateful for that, that they allowed me to do that and go out and spend the day with my family. And it was a lot of cotton candy from a crazy-ass cotton candy store I can't believe we went to, and it was a great dinner last night that kind of felt normal.
Were you in by 10 o'clock? I mean, just make sure, because at 10 o'clock, stuff happens.
Oh, we had a late night, because one of my presents was I want a Nintendo Switch, so I got a Switch, because I said, I kind of want a Switch. So we were playing Super Mario Kart till like midnight last night. So that
okay,
was
as
that
long
was
as you were inside, because you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 10 o'clock. Yeah, that's it. You're off the streets. Yeah, we got to be off the streets now. It's in Los Angeles by 10 o'clock. Or, tight shirt, that doesn't. Well, that,
no,
you just
I think
have
that
to
was
be
a
off
bit,
the streets.
That was a bit much. It was just more the, you know, this is my platform by which to raise my hand and say, why are they going after us that work non-9 to 5 hours? What if I wanted to sit outside and enjoy a nice peach schnapps? You're telling me I can't?
Exactly. I'd like a glass of peach schnapps. You want a big glass, a little glass?
You know what? On principle, I'm going to go find a place that's open and sit outside. And, hey, you got a dusty bottle of peach schnapps back there? Let's get after it.
Can you give it to me in a mason jar? Yep. All right, good.
Everybody's got mason jars. Come on now.
Let me drink that up. That's fantastic stuff. Obviously I was keeping track watching the draft last night. The biggest thing I missed last night, the thing I missed the most, is I'm like, man, with Anthony Edwards going first and the Knicks drafting Obi Toppin, the number of Berman lines I wanted to run, Berman would announce these draft picks. I mean, in my head, I'm just going, that's what I missed. Because these are like lines I could run forever. It's not like when Tommy Tuberville beat Doug Jones. How many Doug Jones lines can I run besides Along Came Jones? You know, so, but with Obi and my knowledge of Star Wars and Anthony Edwards, I mean, I could just go for like all 4 hours and never repeat one. It would have been that. That's the one thing I missed last night.
I created the name game where we played word association with sports and entertainment. And with Anthony Edwards, the clue that I said, all right, but for example, the male lead of Pet Sematary 2.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which had Tyshirt looking at me like I had three heads. But it's like, let me just give you Anthony Edwards to show you how the game's going to go. And then we went from there. But yes, I thought of you and all your Bermanisms, and I was very excited for the 4 hours that they didn't happen.
And TJ, you don't need to see his identification, but it is Obi taken by the Knicks at 8, TJ. I mean, that was the best part. The Anthony Edwards stuff, I'm like, oh, they, you know, they goosed the top of the draft with Anthony Edwards, or rush this pick to the ER. Anthony Edwards is the number one pick. But really, all the random Obi-Wan Kenobi lines, I had that's the one I missed.
Seduced by the dark side.
And seduced and murdered, his career is going to be by the Knicks. Well, to take him at number 8, TJ.
Well, but with Anthony Edwards, hopefully this ends up better than it did for Mark Green or Goose.
Oh, whoa.
It's true.
Yes, it is. Neither of them had good runs, though. You can't say, oh, I got a good
No. Mark Green was very successful, as was Goose.
Very successful. The guy died
of
a brain aneurysm when he was like 40 years old. How is that a good run?
A celebrated surgeon and member of the staff?
He didn't even get to hook up with any of the hot women on the show. It was always Luca who was always getting the hookups.
Implied.
Yeah, it was implied.
You leave Sherry Stringfield alone, jerk.
No, Sherry Stringfield was on Luca too, liked him.
And then Stamos showed up, and everybody wanted Stamos.
Oh, well, of course, John Stamos, it's the hair. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I missed last night, but I'm glad to be back here with you tonight. And look, we have tons of NBA news to get to. We'll get to in a few minutes. Klay Thompson done for the season. Gordon Hayward's a free agent. I got to recalibrate my Boston making a big move prediction. But just starting the third quarter right now in Seattle, Seahawks and the Cardinals, and the Seahawks have been getting the better of the play so far. They lead it 16-7. Russell Wilson has thrown for a couple of touchdowns. Carlos Hyde has looked good out of the backfield. Not getting a ton from DK Metcalf, but when you get a touchdown and you draw a big penalty, you're having a pretty decent game so far. Yes, yeah, and he did have a big drop too. But
off his face.
Yeah, well, it's hard to catch the ball with your face.
That was a touchdown.
Yeah, I know, but you know, the face catch, that's going to be the next thing that some wide receiver wants to do. That's going to be the face catch now. Listen, you have DeAndre Hopkins has the big hands catch, right? All the hands. Now it's got to be a face catch. Like Stonehands caught that one pass in Necessary Roughness when he threw the ball and just like stuck in his grill,
in the
helmet.
That's
how you catch it.
Yeah.
But it has been a big day so far. And I know, don't laugh. Don't laugh. It has been a big day so far. Don't laugh. Do not laugh when I say this. It has been a big day so far. I can tell you're laughing. It has been a big day so far. Don't laugh. For the Seahawks defense. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. But it's been a big day for the Seahawks defense. They hold Kyler Murray to 96 yards passing in the first half. They really can't run the football at all. And suddenly this Seahawks team, where every week is a toss-up, I look at this. This is the best half of football that defense has played the entire season. They didn't let Kyler Murray run over them anywhere. They didn't let him control the game. They have looked phenomenal. This is the best half of football they've had. Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
No, Dunlap was fantastic. Already a couple of hits, a couple of sacks. They're now throwing their bodies around. Quandre Diggs just took a cheap shot on DeAndre Hopkins' ball. It clearly sailed past incomplete. Still got a head shot on him. So he'll be a little lighter in the wallet coming out of that, but the automatic first. But they've played well. Right, no running lanes for Kyler Murray, doing a good job of sealing the edges and forcing him inside. You want to step up, step up. He's made a couple of great throws. He had a on the touchdown drive that ended with Drake reaching out and finding the end zone. He's 6 for 12 with a score. There was a beautiful 25-yard pitch and catch to Max Williams. Don't forget the extra X, M-A. Double X Williams. So you had that, but the big plays have been rare in this one. You know, as we go into the 2 minutes into the third quarter for DeAndre Hopkins, just one catch, 7 yards, and he's only been targeted 3 times, doing a good job of keeping Murray off his being able to get comfortable.
Now, I this is something where I like this because, you know, I picked the Seahawks to go to the Super Bowl before the season started, and I told you nothing is going to help this defense. There's no one riding to the rescue. Every week is a toss-up, right? That's the thing about the Seahawks, how good they are. Now, suddenly, after 2 weeks, Russell Wilson's terrible. He stinks. He's not good. He was the MVP. He was the unquestioned MVP up until 2 weeks ago. Now it's, he's been passed with the MVP race. You know, you guys have one bad week, and suddenly, this guy stinks. Remember, Wilson's trying to do it all by himself with no rushing game. Okay, finally they can run the ball a little bit tonight. Why? Because they finally got a running back who's actually decent in getting Carlos Hyde back. Now this will open up things more for the offense. He's completed 14 out of 17 passes, but every week for the Seahawks is a toss-up because their defense is terrible. Now this doesn't mean suddenly the Seahawks have solved all their problems. This means they've put two solid quarters of football together on defense. And for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, because, you know, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season. This is a good start for them. But, you know, you can almost say this, Mike, is that for both teams, every week is a toss-up. And that's a good thing if I'm talking about the Arizona Cardinals, and it's a bad thing if I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're looking at the Cardinals and the offensive line. They've been penalized, having their struggles, and most of their wins are dramatic end-of-game scenarios. With Seattle, you've watched the last couple of weeks. Russell Wilson hasn't been able to just be 100% on point, and they don't have that margin of error. You know, Carlos Hyde and 8 for 38 tonight. Eventually, in theory, Chris Carson comes back, and you can at least say, all right, we've got our two starting running backs.
I'm not going to believe that. Pete Carroll every week. Oh, he's really close. He had a great week of practice. We're going to have him. And then he's inactive for tonight. But we're going to get him back for next week. No, next week it's going to happen. He looked great. Oh, we're going to be so excited. Yeah, no, we're not having him. Not three weeks in a row.
That's the game you've had to play with this.
I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe with Chris Carson anymore.
On the other side, I know you've had many long diatribes on air and off about Jamal Adams and what he means. I really did think the pickup of Carlos Dunlap was pretty huge. Whether it would solve anything, you know, remains to be seen. We still have 28 minutes of football to play here tonight and another 6 weeks to the regular season thereafter. But they're at least getting some pressure. And we take a little bit with the Arizona offensive line and the fact that, you know, off the edge, they're sealing off Murray's run lanes, which is great. But can you continue to do that? Or can he go to a dink and dunk style, at least against what this defense is presenting tonight, to get over the top? But for Seattle's defense, you at least found a player, right, giving you for at least 34 minutes a little bit of a pass rush, which is more than you had for the first 10 weeks of the year. And anybody that's watched a minute of Seattle Seahawks football, anybody that claims to be somewhat of a fan of Seattle Seahawks football, cannot refute what I just said. Dunlap in 34 minutes was better than anything they'd done.
Big game tonight right now. Again, 2-6-3 teams. Again, Seahawks up 16-7. Cardinals do have the football still very early in the third quarter, and I mean it. Every week is a toss-up. That's great news if I'm talking about the Cardinals because it means they can beat anybody. But if you mention it for the Seahawks, it means they can lose to anybody. But the first half has been okay for Seattle. Now I just jinxed them, and Kyler Murray's going to throw like 5 touchdowns
probably
in the second half.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And I absolutely jinxed the Seahawks defense after I said what a great half they had. They looked great in that first half. Kyler Murray couldn't do anything. Murray takes the Cardinals down the field so easily that he actually throws a touchdown pass to Sam Darnold. Let's hear it.
Takes the snap, drops back to throw, pumps left, now fires over the middle. It is caught for a touchdown by Dan Arnold. Dan Arnold pulls it in, and the Cardinals score a touchdown on the opening drive of the third quarter.
Just needed Cliff Kingsbury to get Sam Darnold out there. I mean, that was big, Mike Harmon. I didn't think I'd get a touchdown from Sam Darnold tonight, but we did.
Well, but I mean, last night we were talking about Kyler Murray wanted to go play some baseball. Maybe Sam Darnold wants to go play some tight end. All about adjustments, man. That's it. Second half adjustments.
I'll tell you what.
His first touchdown of the year, by the way.
Couldn't be it. Yeah, it would be Darnold's only thrown three. It might not be the great. It might not be the worst thing for him to flip positions and go play tight end. I don't know. I mean, he's big. You know, he certainly keeps the play alive. You know, if the play breaks down, he can find a place to be open. He doesn't have to worry about looking downfield at like three or four pesky receivers just locking on the quarterback. That's the guy throwing the ball to you.
Man, you just got four cliches in really fast. If I was drinking on cliche night, I would be hammered. More schnapps.
Touchdown, Sam Darnold. I mean, that was a big, big play right there, I'll tell you. So the Seahawks lead the Cardinals right now, 16-14. I got a feeling we are going to be in for one hell of a second half.
Looming large, baby.
Yeah. Well, so far. You got going for two. You have that's going to play out. But certainly, yes, the missed PAT, especially in fantasy, playing out. But this looks like, I wonder if now we're going to see the offenses just take off in this game. You know, it was kind of a pedestrian-type first half. We thought we'd get more explosion, more offense, but maybe we're going to get it now because clearly that's what we're looking forward to all week long. I mean, this is a great Thursday night game. These are two teams you're thinking at this point they could easily both go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I know Arizona Cardinals, but you think this is a team because the NFC, and that's the thing, that's what people forget about the NFC, is that what we've seen over the course of the first 8 or 9 weeks is not here are the teams that have run away and everybody's playing catch up. It's here are the teams that tried to run away and nobody got really far. And everybody, all the best teams are kind of bunched up, you know, together. We saw they all have their faults and their foibles. So it's not like, boy, what's going to happen? We really have to go play in Kansas City in the playoffs. We're really going to win. Can we go and actually win in Pittsburgh in the playoffs? There's none of that in the NFC. It's we can beat anybody any week. Doesn't matter. Anybody. And no home field. I mean, the lack of home field is a really big deal, just like it was in the bubble in the NBA with no home court. You saw top seeds losing games they normally wouldn't lose. I mean, it is absolutely – it's the wild, wild west in the NFC. The Cardinals and Seahawks, you could say either of these two teams can win their division. They can go to the Super Bowl because they can win any single week. And they have great offenses, and the Seahawks defense stinks. But, boy, they got Russell Wilson is fantastic. And the same thing, Kyler Murray is ascending. Now he's the big it guy for the MVP. I mean, these are teams that can go because the NFC has not been as great at the top as we thought it was going to be.
Topsy-turvy, baby. And if you bust out these highlighter uniforms like the Seahawks have tonight, the sky's the limit because you're blinding defenders as you run at them.
I can't stand these uniforms. These are my absolute worst. I hate these uniforms with a passion. They don't even look like an NFL team when they wear them. They look like a team. They look like a team. Like if Oliver Stone did Any Given Sunday 2 and it was, all right, who's Jamie Foxx's team going to play in this one? Those would be the uniforms of the team they would play. It's like we don't have the rights to use NFL uniforms, so what's some color scheme we can use close to it? I've always hated the highlighter look. I've hated them. I can't stand it. These are one of the worst uniforms in all of sports. I can't stand them.
By the way, if we could find a couple of miniature Sharks helmets, I would love those for my collection, by the way.
So, again, Seahawks lead at 16-14. 6.5 to go in the third quarter. They have the football back. But today in the NBA, a story that shocked everyone. We heard a little bit about it a day ago, and then it was confirmed today after Klay Thompson working out, playing basketball here in Southern California, went down hard on his leg and didn't like the feeling. It looked like it was going to be a serious injury to his right leg. We didn't know what it was about. Of course, Klay Thompson coming back after tearing the ACL in his left leg in the playoffs 2 years ago. Now he is going to be out all season with a tear to his right Achilles. Klay Thompson will miss the entire 2020-2021 season. And obviously, best wishes to Klay Thompson. He's one of the class acts in sports. You can't find anybody to say a bad thing about the guy. He's well-respected. Look, part of that great culture that they have in Golden State with him and Steph Curry, it's really just a terrific, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime moments we have in Golden State. But the thing today, to the basketball thing that I think people are missing out on, is that one of the most popular things, Mike, that I saw people say was, man, I was so looking forward to Steph and Klay trying to take it from the Lakers this year or the Clippers, whoever it is. Oh, and now that's out the window. And I wanted to stop and go, did you still really think the Warriors are great? I mean, you thought that Steph and Klay were going to come back and beat the Lakers? Or beat the Clippers, or beat the Nuggets, or beat the Jazz? You really think that was going to happen? I mean, the era of the Warriors was already over. I mean, we saw it. It was there. It was great. It was an incredible run for 5 years. It was Kevin Durant and back-to-back Finals MVPs. It's beating the Cavaliers almost every year. I mean, it was as close to a dynasty as you were going to get, but I don't know what people thought like that was still going to happen. The Warriors are a team where your best players are over 30. Draymond Green is not nearly the player he was 2 years ago. You'd have Klay Thompson coming back from a serious injury. And as we saw last year, when it was just Steph Curry trying to get things done, they were headed to the bottom of the standings. I mean, the era of the Warriors was over even before Klay Thompson got hurt. They needed to be able to say, hey, we're adding another super-duper star to this rotation. That's why they had to go out and get James Harden. You know, if they could add a superstar, then I could say, okay, now the Warriors are back. All right, now they have to add an absolute superstar to think they were going to compete, because just Klay coming back and having a great, I mean, the Warriors, they look like the Blazers. I mean, that's what it would be. They'd be like a hyped up version of the Blazers. They'd have a tough time cracking the top four in the Western Conference even before Klay Thompson got hurt. I mean, really, that's where they're at right now. That era ended, and it was now, can they restart it with somebody else? And now it's going to be more difficult. But that they need another superstar to get back to where they were, and I don't see that superstar coming.
Well, and I think that was the biggest point before the draft, right? Going back about a week's time, there were just some whispers that maybe the Warriors would be looking at adding on James Harden, which was intriguing, right? My eyebrows raised up, my interest is peaked. Tell me more. How do you make this work? And et cetera. I think just from and even after the announcement last night and the assumption that we were talking about a devastating injury and news that started leaking out, Chris Haynes, we talked about it on air, Dan Beyer and I, while you were off. And, you know, he more or less said, yeah, this is where we're at. This is what it may be believed that it was believed to be. So when the draft number two came up, it's like, all right, what do we got? Right? You'd had about 2 hours. Do they suddenly go away from the plan and try to trade away whatever assets they needed to bring Harden aboard? Instead, they drafted James Wiseman. And the plan continues. But I think from the straight basketball perspective, with Klay coming back, and the excitement that you speak of, it was more just a, what can they be if both these guys are healthy, right? Not necessarily that they were going to be juggernauts, but they were going to certainly be better than the putrid performance that we saw before Operation Shutdown happened. And good on Draymond for the broadcasting that he did once they were done. I mean, that was great. But I think it was just the curiosity of what could they be coming off of serious injuries. And as much as everybody got tired of the Warriors and hated the Warriors, when you got to the playoffs and the bubble, you missed the Warriors. So it was a little bit of quick nostalgia of how do we get them back?
I don't know that we can. you know, and it's look, all dynasties end, and they end in weird ways, and we really watch in retrospect, because now there's time to put between where we're at and how we can put a big moment in perspective. And when you watch the injuries of here's KD that goes down with the Achilles, and then here's Clay that goes down with the torn ACL in the finals, and it's okay, that really was the end, because they were never the same since then. And when you lose one of the best players on the planet, one of the top three players in the league, that's a big loss. That's not suddenly where, hey, we're just going to rally the troops and everything's going to be great the next season. You know, suddenly we'll get D'Angelo Russell and things are going to be. No. You needed all of those guys to get there. And now everybody is older. It's been a great run. It's been awesome. But this run had already ended. And like I said, if they get a superstar, that's going to be the big thing. Okay, if they could go get a superstar, that would help them continue this. But now, with an over 30 Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson that you don't know how he's going to come back when he does come back, Draymond Green is not clearly the same player. Who's going to go do that and say, I can slide right in here? I mean, KD, it was easy. We got all these. This is great. I'm going to show up there 4 years. Everybody late 20s. Man, we're great. Yeah, we're going, man. Draymond Green is one of the best all-around players in the NBA. I'm going. And it was hot knife through butter. And they looked phenomenal. It was going to be another championship. And now this is where we're at, because this is the state of the Warriors. I don't know that they're going to suddenly get somebody to go, I want to go there and play in that culture. You know, that's something that is really going to be difficult to sell to a star like James Harden now. Oh, Clay's, I don't know, man. Are we still going to be really good? Is it going to happen? I go there. I don't know. It's going to be really difficult to do that, Mike. So, it's the Warriors, and still, wait till you see the question I'm going to ask you coming up in 90 seconds. But, man, this is something that I think we have to look at more than if anybody else would go to join the Golden State Warriors. I got something for you coming up in 90. I got some.
I'm ready.
I got some.
You I'm got ready. I'm Let's ready. Go.
But first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
More on Klay Thompson and the injury and how this impacts the Warriors, right? So we spent the last few minutes talking about the Warriors not knowing what they are, and really the dynasty had ended before Klay Thompson got hurt. Where do things sit now? I don't think the question no longer is, hey, who's going to come play in Golden State? The biggest question is, at what point does Steph Curry think, I might have to go someplace else if I want to win another championship?
Boom!
All right, he's the forever. I know, KNBR, I'm ready for my interview. He's the forever warrior, right? He's the guy. He's going to stay with his team all the way to the end. I get it. In the NBA, everybody leaves. Everybody leaves at some point. LeBron left his hometown twice to go win a championship. And it would be like that second time where, boy, Steph is a forever warrior, right? And no matter what he does in his career, Golden State's always going to be home. It's always going to be where he comes back and loved by the fans. But at some point, and it may come after this season, he's got to go, maybe I need to go someplace else. Nobody else is coming here because now I'm over 30. I'm not the drawing card. I got to be the guy that go teams up somewhere. And maybe Steph Curry goes to form a new super team somewhere else, either in the West, he goes wherever it is. But I would put my money more on him leaving than them getting another star. Because at some point, is he just going to sit there and take jumpers and put up empty stats for 5, 6, 7 years? He's not that guy. He wants to win. And he wants to go and say, okay, these early things, I could still do it. I can eventually be a finals MVP at some point. I don't need Kevin Durant to show up and win championships. I can go team up with somebody and you watch what we do. And suddenly now my championships are at 5 and 6. I wonder the chances are of that happening, and I would say they're pretty good. Because like I said, everybody leaves. I would say 70% that at some point Steph Curry would leave and go play someplace else to play the end of his prime like LeBron did with the Lakers.
Everybody leaves and everybody hurts. And I was with you until you said 5 or 6 championships, because I was ready to say, send him to New York. Revitalize Knicks basketball. Let him go work with Obi Toppin. Be a good two-man act.
Hey, it might work with the Knicks. It's okay. I mean, look, I hope that you know, well, boy, I'll tell you, we'll have Gordon Hayward. We're going to have him. We're going to have, yeah, I mean, I hope he can fit in. You know, we have the over 30 All-Stars, which I guess would be okay. But still, it's got to be what he thinks of. Because if you want to win and you can't get everybody to come play with you, you got to go someplace else. and if he would ruin his reputation, I get it. He would probably stay there. But he will go if he has to. You know what? This is fun. I want to go play here where I've decided to go do this, and who knows? And you're going to see the Photoshop jerseys everywhere. Steph leaving. You think it's not going to happen. It'll happen.
I think it's a curiosity. I mean, it's the idea of what's most important to him, because he's already got the chips, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's already ridden on the ship a couple of times. So is it more important to him for the legacy of being one of the old throwback guys that stays with one team while also being a guy that helped change how the NBA is played? Because he gets to have both of those if he stays a Warrior in San Francisco for the duration.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Coming up, we'll have more from the NBA, including the team that now I'm going to make the big prediction is going to be the big winner in free agency, because now the Celtics are out because Gordon Hayward opted out and they can't trade his big contract. Who team is that going to be? Oh, wait till we tell you. Coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Harmon's in his underwear right now, dancing, all excited. Of course, instead of
just
the
a normal whiteys, Thursday,
like
what are you talking about?
It would be purple underwear.
Yeah, it's a normal
Pictures
Thursday,
of Pat Fitzgerald
baby. Come on
up
now.
All over the place. Oh, sure.
Eating from a wheel of cheese.
Mm-hmm. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Got a tight one right now in Seattle. Just when I said, boy, the Seahawks defense looks great in the first half, well, Kyler Murray has been able to do a lot so far here in the second half, getting the Cardinals into the end zone to make it a 23-21 game. Edmonds with a touchdown pass, so now it is a two-point game in the fourth quarter. And again, as Harmon said, that extra point, that missed extra point, could be looming large for the Seattle Seahawks. But right now, again, we got a good game between two teams that we're going to break down more coming up in a little bit. We got Jay Glazer going to stop by after this game. So still a lot to go here between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Again, a two-point game here in the fourth quarter. But the NBA, the last night coming into today, I'm going to have to change my big free agent prediction, Mike Harmon. But it's not my fault. I got to change it because something happened. And I can't just sit here and put my head in the sand and go, no, it's still going to happen.
Okay. Well, I mean, you could still try to barrel through. Some folks, despite lots of evidence in sports talk, radio, and television,
yes,
hold the same take for 8 to 10 years.
That's right.
And never change. So
that's right.
You know, you got to decide which road you're taking here, buddy.
Go woke, go broke, man. Go all the way to the end with that. Go woke. That's what happens, man. So I told you that the Celtics were looking to doing something big because they had the players that seemed to be out there for a trade, that they could go and get a big superstar because of the salaries that Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward have, two guys that clearly they would like to replace and reload on their roster with. And then Gordon Hayward, who today, shocking decision, decided to opt out of his one-year, $34 million contract with the Boston Celtics, which is shocking because wherever he goes, he's not going to get anything close to that. Even if he signs a two-year deal, he's going to go for 2 years and $34 million. I mean, it's not suddenly where I said, oh, he's going to make no, but he wasn't going to make more than that. So opting out was a bit of a shock for me, unless he knows something that none of us do. But I can't see any team saying, yeah, Gordon Hayward, sure, you're coming off a big injury and you haven't been the guy they thought you were. We'll give you $35 million a year. So he must be confident he's getting some kind of deal that's going to pay him at least $18, $20 million. But still, it's not going to nearly be what he would get for last season. So that's a bit of a surprise. But that being said, Mike, I'll tell you what. The team that's now going to make a big move in free agency, because now you take Gordon Hayward and being able to trade his contract out of the equation, I'm telling you, don't laugh. We started the hour by not laughing. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Because the Knicks are going to wind up being big winners in free agency. I tell you, they're the Mets light. They cut everybody today except for Reggie Bullock. Everybody, every guy they cut. They cut $40 million day after the draft. Yeah, we got Obi Toppin. He's great. We're going to cut you and you and you and you. They cut everybody. So now they save $40 million more in salary cap space, and already Gordon Hayward has been linked to the Knicks. But this shows you they are now going to be players. And I mean it. The backsliding for the Knicks has stopped. It's a new day. I mean, for the Mets and the Knicks, it's a new day because there's new front office in play. I mean, Dolan still is terrible and he sucks so bad. But Leon Rose, they finally have the front office the way they want it to work. And Tom Thibodeau is one of those coaches that's going to stop the backsliding. He's a great coach. I'll worry about the players not liking him after we lose in the conference finals in 2 years. I'll worry about that then. But they have stopped the backsliding and they're going to add a couple of nice pieces and they're going to be able to bring stars because now they figured out this is how you do it. When guys fall through the cracks and their contracts come up and they're not and they opt out or they're unhappy superstars, this is how you get stars when you can't just open your doors and say, come sign with us. So this is how the Knicks are going to do it, whether it's Gordon Hayward, whether it's a couple other people. They are going to be big players, and now the Knicks have given their franchise kind of a clean slate in which now, hey, going to the Knicks is okay. You know, you got to make it look like it's okay.
Well,
you can't have an area be so radioactive that, oh, he can't go to the Knicks. No, now that radioactivity is all gone, and it's okay to go to the Knicks now. They will be big winners in free agency.
Well, you got to figure out where the sweet spot is between the folks that don't want to play, have anything to do with James Dolan, and those who don't think they can deal with Tom Thibodeau. Right? So the front office is doing the sell job of how do we get you in between here. As for Hayward himself, it's not quite the, hey, I'm going to bet on myself situation. It's more a, I don't want to get traded somewhere I don't want to play. Right? And I'll make money. I've already made money in my career. I'll continue to make a good salary. I showed this year I can still shoot, averaging 17 a game. There's a market for my services. So while I might not make 34 a year, I might be able to get in that 18 to 22 or that mid-level exemption, I think is what, 17 and a half or whatever that is, and maybe get a longer deal in that range and go play where I want to and go try something else. I mean, there's something to be said for, it's like discretionary income. I was having this conversation with Madeline as we were driving the other day, just about, you know, you choose your time. Maybe you pay someone to come do your lawn. You drop off your laundry at the dry cleaners, things like that. Likewise here, if you're a player, you're saying, what's it worth to me to go someplace where I can try to create my own happiness as opposed to going to a franchise where I know it is not the ideal situation? I kind of dig that.
Watch out. I mean it for the first time. Watch out for the Knicks. It's so great. It's like I had to wait and get out of my 40s for the Mets and the Knicks to suddenly say, okay, now we're going to be good and actually try. I just needed that to happen. Who knew?
They have a lot of money to spend, so it's going to be funny.
Coming up next, another big story out of the NBA and one from the NFL. Fox.